Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we spend a lot of time talking about books with their authors on this show. Let's end the show today talking about giving books as gifts this holiday season. You have two more nights of Hanukkah and not that many days till Christmas. What books are you planning to give this year? Have you solved the problem of not having anything to wrap when you give an e-book? Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And joining me with some suggestions of his is James Hanahan, author of the novel God Says No and a book critic at The Village Voice. Hey, James, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks.
And you're a novelist yourself, so is that where you start with a list like this, what novels you give?
Well, I usually start with the person. I think that's always a better way to go about it.
The author or the gift recipient?
The gift recipient.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk into a store thinking about the person and not necessarily thinking about, oh, I'm going to get this for that person. Just who are they and what would they be interested in?
That's a great way to start. And so do you have even like categories of that, or it just really depends on knowing the individual?
Yeah, sometimes I'll see something and it'll kind of strike me as something someone would like, you know, like some person that I know.
So I'm looking at some of the novels that you like this year, and one of them is 12 Tribes of Hattie by Ayanna Mathis. J.D. Smith, N.W., a novel, Michael Chabon's Telegraph Avenue, Juno Diaz, This Is How You Lose Her. You want to talk about any of those?
Well, these are all books that have been winning awards and or getting a lot of notice. I felt like the Ayanna Mathis, book was probably really good for, you know, somebody who's an Oprah aficionado or fan, because it was just chosen for
her book
for
club.
The Oprah Book Club 2.0, and a lot of these others have been nominated. There are a lot of National Book Award nominees, things that you might be able to give people and say, "Look, someone else thinks this is great." So, and then there's the Cullum Toybean book, which is actually he's kind of trying to channel the Virgin Mary in her later years.
So from the what kind of person,
Christmas appropriate.
Yes. So for the person who is really into Christmas and likes getting Christmassy Christmas gifts on Christmas, then maybe that one.
Yeah, it's also really short. It's about 96 pages. So I think, you know, if you can give that to the religious person in your life who doesn't really like to read.
And who has a 21st century attention span.
Yeah, but who needs to read something good.
Let's take a recommendation from a listener, Mary in Inwood. You're on the air. Hi.
Oh.
Hi.
Hi, Brian. I heard My American Revolution, Robert Sullivan, talk on your show. It was so interesting. I read the book, and I'm getting it for my nephew, who's 14, and who lives in Brooklyn, and I recommended it to a friend of mine whose grandchild lives in New Jersey, because I think it makes history live, history that you have right here. Every day when my nephew goes to school, he goes through Brooklyn Heights, he sees all these areas. And for an imaginative, intelligent teenager, I think it's a wonderful book. I really have loved it myself, so that's what I'm giving for Christmas to kids.
Nice one. Thank you very much. And James, let's touch on some nonfiction books. What caught your attention there this year?
Well, I mean, everybody's attention after the election was caught by Nate Silver's book, I think, The Signal and the Noise. Maybe one of the most intelligent, really grown up in a lot of ways, books about how to predict things, but how to think probabilistically, which is something we're not all that great at in this country. We like to think, that we're perfect in a lot of ways. We don't like to look at our flaws and then try to, determine what we're going to be able to do rather than think about our dreams and how to get there. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, he's got a statistician's mind, right? He's got this probabilistic way of looking at things, and which is very logical and very rational. And John in Annandale, you have a book to recommend. Hi.
I would recommend David Byrne's latest book called How Music Works. Physically, it's a beautiful book as well. But he really, I'm giving it to a musician friend of mine who's turning 50 this year. But a person who enjoys music or any creative type is really going to learn a lot from this. He explains how music is sort of largely responsible because of its context, the place and time and how it's made. And he explores that deeply, and then he looks at, gives you his history in the studio as well and what that's produced.
Yeah, it's really fun. And I'm happy to say somebody gave me that book for my birthday this year.
And, did you enjoy it?
Absolutely. Just started it, actually. But looking forward to getting into the guts of all the things that you just described. So, John, thanks a lot. I was certainly delighted to get it.
And I'd like to read the book Brian Eno would write about how the music business works and how he's made his career into one of the best music careers on the planet.
I wonder if the 12-12-12 concert, speaking of books by musicians, with all those old English musicians, as Mick Jagger put it, may spike sales for their coffee table book, The Rolling Stones 50.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's that and the Abbey Road book. And, I mean, just pick an old English musician or just practically anyone. I mean, there's the Pete Townsend, the Neil Young, Kenny Rogers, Leonard. There are two books about Leonard Cohen that have been recently released. Mm-hmm. I'm Your Man and Alan Light's book, The Holy or the Broken. There's a biography of the jazz pianist Marion McPartland. I mean, just you can pretty much decide which musician's life you would like to read about this, and just go to the bookstore and find the book.
Michael in Newport, you're on WNYC.
Hello?
Hi, Michael. You have a book suggestion?
No, I'm asking about a book to suggest it to my own mom, you know,
So
that's what.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So what kind of books does your mom like, or what else about her?
Okay, my mom is a doctor. She's a surgical doctor. And, she just rose me up, you know, without thinking about dating or anything. And, I'm just, trying to find her a book because she's, always, reading. So I'm trying to find a book that would tell her, go back and enjoy your life again.
Ooh. All right, James, you're up.
Okay.
You talk about picking a book for the person. Sounds like he's got a mom who's a doctor, a surgeon. She's super serious, and he wants to give her something that's going to just make her enjoy her life again.
The book that I think would make me enjoy life a little bit more is the Diana Vreeland biography, Empress of Fashion, that just came out this month. And she's, you know, the former Vogue editor in the 60s, and she kind of made fashion more or less what it is. I don't know if his doctor or mother would be all that interested in fashion, but she's kind of got a reputation for being a kind of kooky presence, even in the fashion world, and she's got this, you know, odd outlook on life because of her, you know, centrality to the fashion world. She's sort of the person that made fashion sort of the eccentric point of view that it's become.
Now, I don't know if book critics who push back against authors like to talk to people who push back against book reviews, but
I play both sides of the fence.
So Dan in Jersey City wants to, I think, respond to your recommendation of the Colm Tóibín book, The Testament of Mary, for religious people. Right, Dan?
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, you said you started off the segment saying, you know, you think of the person first and then you go after the book. But,
right.
Now, disclaimer, I haven't read the book. I've just heard the guy interviewed a couple times and heard scanned a couple of reviews. And it seems to go through every hackneyed impiety that one might have said in the schoolyard about the Blessed Virgin. And it's like when people think, I'll get Dan Brown for my grandmother, the unrepentant Catholic. I mean, these are books that treat sacred subjects as, and so I just think you should cross that off the list of anybody who's a believing Christian.
James, recommendation for you.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure how to respond to that, actually. First of all, I mean, we should probably read the book before we start deciding that we shouldn't, you know, give it to anybody who's devout. Maybe, you know, people who are devout can handle having their, you know, some deep thoughts about their religious background. And, you know, maybe the idea that somebody else has an interesting idea about religion doesn't destroy the religion, doesn't, like, won't remove your faith, doesn't threaten your faith, and can maybe add to your thinking about your religion.
Oh, yeah, Dan touched a nerve there. I wonder if anyone has used Sandy as an inspiration and is giving home repair or DIY books, or is that just too depressing?
I haven't come across so much of that, I have to say. And it's certainly, it's, you know, the lead time before a book comes out is, you know, it's, if Sandy happened, you know, so recently that there isn't anything specifically like that. But there is that Staten Island Noir series that Akashic is doing.
That seems somehow appropriate.
Yeah, that seems like it would be very appropriate.
Let's see. On these, let's end by going back to these music books. There are so many music books coming out, either by or about musicians. Is the huge book about the band The Smiths a coffee table book or a written account?
It sounds like a huge written account. It's like 700 pages long. And, I mean, I was a big Smiths fan, but I'm not sure how much I want to read 700 pages about them. Although, I'm sure, you know, if I was a bigger fan, I would probably pour through it. Or maybe if I was, you know, still in high school, I guess.
And Beck's Song Reader, The Return of Sheet Music?
Well, it's not really the return of sheet music. I think they're trying to say, at least Jody Rosen said in his introduction, that it's more of a reminder of what, of people's relationship to music as it used to be. The book, by the way, is unbelievably gorgeous. It's a real collector's item in a lot of ways, except you kind of want to use it at this. If you know how to read music, you will definitely want to try to play these songs.
So is it actually?
Or, and if you don't, you'll probably want to get your relatives who do know, or your friends, or just like a whole group of people to try to play them.
So it is actually sheet music.
Yeah, it's individual. I'm looking at it right now. It's like individual. It's a book that kind of opens up, and then there are these pockets with 20 songs in really beautiful sheet music editions, like you would have seen, you know, individual songs in sheet music.
And we leave it there with James Hanahan, author of God Says No and a book critic at The Village Voice. Thanks so much. This was really fun. Happy holidays.
No problem. Thank you, Brian.
By the way, Beck will be on Studio 360 as a guest this weekend, and they put together a band of WNYC musicians and recorded one of the songs, St. Dude. The video is available now, and let's go out with a little bit of it. The people still